Well, this morning we're going to shift, and specifically in our subject to teaching, we're going to go over and look at the gifts of the Spirit, and it really is tied to what we talk about Pentecost. And as we go over here this morning to look at these, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. We'll start. We're in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, is where we're going to go to. I have said many times in teaching that we break the Bible up into sections. Lots of times and teach things. And which is good. You really can't, just teach everything. You start the book of Genesis and teach every principle the whole way through. I mean, you'd be doing. So there's certain things that we come along and we emphasize. But there's one thing we need to know. Years ago, the Lord told me to start to read the Bible. He said, when you go to the New Testament, you read the letters of the church. Read them as a letter. Quit reading them just as you're going through a chapter, and you have a certain chapter and has this certain subject. And I found this out because many times in doing that, now, there's nothing wrong that our translators broke things up, because then we could go to study and say, look at a certain part, you can go right there. If it was just left as letters, it'd be a little bit hard to go and look where things are up. That was a smart idea. But chapters and verses and where men broke subjects up was not necessarily good. In the translators didn't break up and put these headings in here. They've been put in by other people as they go along. And many times headings were put in because of the person's personal beliefs. They're not gospel. They're people's personal beliefs. Now, in the book of Corinthians, the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter are all dealing with the same thing. It's never taught that way. But it's dealing with spirit, the things of the Spirit. It's not dealing with things of the natural. And the 13th chapter, the love chapter, is a chapter about the Spirit. It is not about natural. It's not talking about naturally loving like people do. It's talking about spiritual things. And we need to understand, if you don't see that when you go through, there's one thing, is I was amazed at the revelation I got from these chapters when I understood them in their context of the entire writing that he was saying. You learn a lot of things. And I think that's one thing, is a lot of Christians, miss things and that stuff, because, we have our readings and stuff and things that people do. Say, I'm going to read through the Bible. You read a chapter here, a chapter there. You get this, you get that. But I'll tell you what, I don't read through the Bible. I did that a few times, and I just found out I get more. Like, I'd sit down, and I will have maybe one of the letters to the church that I'm impressed to read, and I might read over that thing months on end. I might just go down and read some out of there. There's things I read. And when I hit a spot where something's speaking to me, I hang around that spot around. Now, that's nice to read through the Bible over a period of time, but I'll tell you, there's things you need the Holy Ghost, you need to be led by the Spirit in, that God wants to show you. And He can't show you if you're just following somebody else's thing. You need to learn to be led by the Spirit. I have nothing against you reading through the Bible, but you got to get your Bible out and let the Holy Spirit take you through things. You need to do that. Or you sit down. And I sit down and I'll take sections and I'll just, things stick to me, and I'll just go back over and back over into reading these things. As we look into this thing, as this context is starting off in this teaching we want to look at today, there's the need for we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I talk about them as, I use the term probably more as I've understood the subject, talking about manifestations of the Spirit, of how the Holy Spirit manifests. Many times Christianity, I know in the charismatic renewal came along, in the charismatic move, and people would talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and they would talk about and emphasize the Holy Spirit, these gifts, but they would look at just one aspect, maybe like these gifts here, these things. This is one of the things that the Lord had me emphasizing so much dealing with Pentecost. We have the power of the gifts that God manifested, but we need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. These gifts are not the only thing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He's the one who guides us and leads us in the truth. He was the one who takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. He is our comforter. He's our strengthener. The Holy Spirit does these things in us, and we need to understand they're part of what His work are. If you take Him over to just some, what people call gifts, and that's why people sort of ignore the Holy Spirit and only think sometimes about the gifts. These gifts we're going to talk about. No, if you, that's one thing. If you can't be led by the Spirit, forget about the gifts of the Spirit. Don't even bother. Because you ain't going to ever operate in them. All of this stuff requires us yielding to the Holy Spirit. requires each one of us yielding to the Holy Spirit. Now in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to talk about this somewhat today, we need these gifts, and the Lord spoke to me specifically right now in teaching. He spoke to me and said to me concerning these gifts. He said, in this last day move of God, and because of all the judgments, all this stuff that's happening and going on, he said, the body of Christ needs the manifestations of these gifts more than ever. I'll tell you what, the people that don't want to move to it ain't going to stand. We need a supernatural God in manifestation. And it's going to require something of us to have it. It's not going to happen because he wants it to happen. We're going to have to respond to it by faith. We're going to have to move over into it. The scriptures tell us, and we'll read, it tells us to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I'm just going to tell you this. 99% of Christians do not earnestly desire it. That word earnest means to, really is to have a zeal for it. I mean, it's a craving. Most people would like to have things done, but they are not craving for it. You can tell by people's lifestyles what they crave for. You can easily tell you what you crave for. You can identify yourself by what you do. You can tell what you really want by what you emphasize your time in. You don't take no rocket scientist. I can tell what Ed wants by what he does. See, if people say, I want something. Well, there's a different thing between wanting and going after something. We're in a society today in our church worlds identical to the world. You know, all these, you know, everybody ought to go to college. Well, I want to go to college. What do you want to pay for? No, somebody ought to pay for that thing. I want to go. You know, I want to go, but I don't want to be involved in having to do anything about it. I just want to see loads of people. This is the idea. We need to know concerning desire. The fact there's things that you desire, and most things that you desire, you will never go after. Because you really don't have any kind of desire that becomes, oh, I got to have this. If it falls on me and I don't have to do nothing. Yep. So we talk, and people, I've heard people say, well, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. And they think it's all say they'd like to have something that's going to show up. Oh, go jump. It ain't happening. That ain't how it works. That's not biblical. Desire is something that you're craving after, something that you're pushing toward you, toward. You know, it says, seek and you shall find. That word seek there means to go after something as if it's lost and you're intently trying to find it. Most Christians will live and die and never seek God. They'll never get intent about it. Nothing will become important enough. We need to in this last day. We need to get after some things. There's things we need to. We need to get after concerning these manifestations of the Spirit. If the Bible tells us to earnestly desire him or crave for him, then just generally wanting is not going to bring it to pass or happening. So I can look at the body of Christ today and I can say this, is generally the body of Christ has not been scripturally in line to have these moved. Why? Because if we were, they'd be happening. They'd be manifested. It's that simple. So that means it requires something of me to do something to go after this. And we need to come to that pot. This isn't enough for me to stand up here and tell you guys, yeah, that really sounds good. You're going to have to go after this. If you want manifestations of the Spirit to happen through you, you're going to have to go after it. The Holy Ghost manifests through me from the time I was a young Christian, but I've been after that the whole time. Since I got born again, I had been after this thing. I want manifestations of the Spirit. I desire them. And you're going to have to want things. You're going to have to put your faith over in the areas of what becomes important to you. Many people, a lot of things have become important to them in their life and whatever it is. A lot of things consume them. Many people, an easy lifestyle is what they go after and what they want. And there's things that people feel that are really important in life. You have to decide. I've learned this is you have to, it's concerning the things of God. If they're not more valuable than the things you have around you and even your family, you're not going to see certain things. I'm just telling you this. Jesus used the terminology as if you love your mom and dad more than you love him. He put it down that you're going to either hate them or hate me. One of the two. In other words, the comparison. If you want something, there's one thing as I found out. I know I loved my wife and I love my children, but I love God more than any of them, and I will follow Him before I will follow them. Most people will not do that. You've got to decide what you love in life and what comes first. If we want to move in God, we want to see the move. I'll tell you, there's one thing as I found out. If I kept my love toward God and Him first, then things worked in my family. Family stuff don't work because most of it's all selfish. People trying to take care of everything, doing it themselves, working out themselves. They're not chasing after God on the benefit of their family. They're chasing after God to fix things in my family so I can just, you know, we can do our thing. That's not what it's for. It's going after God. My children, when I got born again, my children were never first. Children ain't first. They can't be. They can't be first. Your children are first. Then God could say to you, you don't really love me. And He will one day. We need to understand this. If we love anybody, it is proved out to God through our following Him, going after Him. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, love between a husband and wife. Man loving his wife like Christ loves the church. Well, if a man isn't walking in the love with Christ to the church, he's not going to walk right toward his wife. See, a woman wants to be the center of attention to the man. He's not supposed to be. God is. And guy, if God isn't the attention of you first in your life, then you're not going to love your wife like Christ loves the church. And you won't give your life for her. She'll give her life to you. That's what happens. And this is what a lot of women do. They want the guy and they give their life to him and then complain because he don't walk right and do right and gripe and moan about it. See, if we follow the Bible, this stuff, the Bible works. I'm going to tell you, the Bible will work. But the church don't preach the Bible today. We have all of our ideas of what the world has said of how marriage works. And it's really worked well. I mean, the marriages in America are great. They're really good. We're really just having a great society. And it's because we don't follow the Bible. And this is why I just want to encourage you. There's things that we desire, we must go after it. We have to go on what's right for the benefit of others. And I learned early as a Christian, if I love my wife, then I have to follow God. Or I won't reveal to her the love that God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I'll reveal to her what I think. See, I was criticized in the church I was in because he said I was spending too much time with God and wasn't spending time with my family. And I went to the Lord and prayed, Lord, Lord, you keep telling me to go over and set time being spending time with you. What's going on here? They're telling me I ain't doing right. The Lord said, don't pay no attention to those people. He said, if you spend time with your wife, you don't know how to act when you're with her. What God was trying to do is change me in His presence. And the Christians were trying to make me how you're going to really change. You want to have a happy family? You focus on your wife. God said, had a completely different idea. I thank God I listened to Him, because some of them people, I wouldn't have wanted their family lives for nothing. They had messed up family lives. They had messed up kids. Messed up stuff going on. Hallelujah. I can truthfully say, as we didn't go through all the burdensome stuff of raising our kids that other people did, I thank God I walked with God. People come up with all kinds of reasons why things didn't work. I'm going to tell you what, I can tell why a lot of it doesn't work. You got to put God first. If you want God in something, God is not going to just allow you to run out there in your things, and then when you want Him, just yell, and He's just going to jump in and fix stuff for you. If you haven't noticed that that don't work, if you haven't noticed that, I've noticed it, and I'm just telling you, hallelujah, we're going to have to go after. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it starts off, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, I want to say this in opening, because this verse says, now concerning spiritual gifts. In my Bible, you'll see the word gifts, I don't know if it does in yours, is italicized. If it's not, it should be. And what it means is this. That word was not in there. The interpreters put that word in there. That word does not belong there. He is not talking opening up saying spiritual gifts. He's talking about being spiritual. And some of the older translations say, now concerning spirituals, it's really a plural word. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The interlinear Greek and English New Testament, I read that one, look at lots of times when I read stuff, I'll read out of the Greek and English New Testament because it eliminates all the added words and it puts in, you're reading just what the things that were said. But it says now about spiritual matters. So in other words, what he's going to talk is about spiritual things. He's talking about spiritual things, not just gifts. Because, see, we take chapter 12 and say, well, this is talking about these gifts and this. Say, no, no, no. He's writing a letter to people, and now he's going to subject. He's going to deal with some spiritual things. And chapters 12, 13, and 14 deal with these spiritual things. So I'm going to, what he wants to know, he says these spiritual things, concerning spiritual things. Kenneth Hagin said it this way, and I really liked it because it really does line up with the effect of what's trying to be said. He said, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, we want to look at things that pertain to the Holy Spirit and of the Holy Spirit. We're going to begin to look at this as we start off here. Now, he makes statements to this, and he says in verse 2, he said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. The word there used, Gentiles, sometimes is translated New Testament nations, and sometimes the word can be translated, they said heathen. We need to understand this word here, Gentile. The Gentile was the ones without God. In other words, people who didn't have a covenant with God. And that's what it speaks to. The Jews always looked, and if you go over to the Old Testament, they called them the nations, or they called them the heathen. They called it, those were the people that didn't have a covenant with God. Well, through Christ Jesus, Gentiles could enter God's covenant, the new covenant. And he says to them, he said, you guys were Gentiles, and that's what they were. These Corinthians were Gentiles. He said, you followed after dumb idols. This is what you did. You followed after, he said, however you were led. Now, he's going to say something to him because he's talking about, now understand, this subject he's talking about here is something about the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. He's talking about things spiritually happening. Remember, that in the spirit world, if you went into the spirit world, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There are angels. There are also demons. There's Lucifer and all his buddies are over there in the spirit realm. He's talking about things that happen in the spirit realm where he's talking about dumb idols over here. He's not talking about demons and stuff. Look, their religions were demonic. They are enforced by spirits. Now, he said their idols are dumb. They build images. The images didn't talk. They didn't do anything like that. But he wants to go because they're doing around and saying things. He goes, therefore, verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. He is talking here about a manifestation of the Spirit. Somebody who is anointed, who says that Jesus is accursed. He's saying the Spirit of God wouldn't do that. In other words, they had manifestations among them where sometimes things were said contrary to the Word of God. And it was happening while person is yielding to the wrong spirits. I have been in Christian meetings and have watched ministers yield to the wrong spirit and say things. I was in a meeting, probably one of the best known faith teachers, supposedly be a faith ministry in the United States, largest one, sitting in a meeting, and a woman is out operating under demonic spirits. And said to say he didn't know it, and I don't know why he didn't know it. I was a young Christian, I was in my second year of Bible school, and I knew that she was operating, and it proved out later she was operating under a demonic spirit. It exposed it every while. But all these big name people are following after this thing. And anyhow, he gets up in the meeting and says, the Lord spoke to me and said, she's supposed to lay hands on all of us. And I looked at the guy next to me and said, I'm out of here. She ain't touching this boy. Goodbye. And I left the building. I didn't stay around. I'm going to tell you what, I got enough trouble in my life without letting some demon-possessed person go laying hands on it. I got enough trouble. And it turned out, they found out that this woman was operating under demonic spirits. See, the demonic spirits were anointed. This guy, I wouldn't be surprised he heard a voice tell him that. I wouldn't be surprised, and he gets up and speaks it out. And we need to understand this. This happens a lot in the body of Christ. We got men standing in pulpits every Sunday talking, and I'll tell you what, their voice is more backed by the devil than God. Just because they read some things from a Bible don't make it God. You best know what's going on. Ain't nobody ever stood up in a church and ever thought homosexuality was all right and homosexuals getting married is all right and said God was in it. That's demonic. The New Testament is clear that it's evil. The New Testament clearly says it. So if somebody gets up talking different in the Bible, there's one thing I know. We got a wrong spirit and we ain't hanging around that. Fornication, adultery. Well, we love each other. Well, go ahead and love each other. God says it's wrong. You ain't married. It's wrong. It ain't no loving each other. It's called sin. That's what it is. People can say whatever they like, do whatever they want, have at it, but it don't make it right because of. In other words, they've had manifestations in this church taking place, and this is what he's addressing. So no one says Jesus is accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. When a spirit is in manifestation, and this is one thing, as I've learned over the years dealing with demonic powers, sometimes you don't know. A person can seem completely all right, but when the anointing's there, then all of a sudden they manifest. This is one of the things is I've heard people, you'll get confused sometimes. I know back in the, especially in the 80s, in services, which you'd have pretty strong anointings in some of these services they had. They don't have much of that today. But it'd be really strong anointings in the service, and people wouldn't understand it. Say, how come we go to these services and that stuff, they go there, and all of a sudden people are demonic, start acting up. Demons start acting up. It's caused the anointing. When the anointing manifests itself, they can't hide. Lots of times that's the way you find out. And people are shocked to find out people that are operating under demonic power. People who have yielded and people who are oppressed and are possessed by the devil. They get surprised. I mean, there's things here, you know, we don't see as much in America, but there is things that go on here. And look, America has as many demons as India got. I think we imported a lot. And, you know, we like them. But I'm going to tell you what, I mean, I have seen manifestations in people's bodies and things that happen. I'm going to tell you, they could not naturally do what they do. People go across the floor like a snake. Their body is turning and bending. A human body couldn't turn and bend like that. It's something super. It's a supernatural manifestation, but one thing, it ain't God. And now, but people look at that. But many times there's people coming along. The devil don't always show up in some kind of weird thing. The devil many times shows up by what he says to lead people astray and to lead people off. And so we need to be clear. There's one thing we understand about this, and I was glad I was taught by Dr. Kenneth Hagin. He said, in manifestations of the Holy Spirit, if things don't magnify Jesus, if they exalt a person. You know, some people, I've watched this about prophecy over the years. I've watched people say such glowing words, one person prophesying over another, and my words, they make the person into the next best thing to slice bread. I mean, it's just like, you're the most wonderful thing that ever happened. God ain't saying that to you. God ain't trying to give you a big head. He's trying to you to get rid of your big head. This is one thing, as I know, is demonic in our nation. We get people, and they always want patted on the back all the time, and we're always supposed to be, oh, you're good, you're wonderful. That's demonic. When you need that kind of thing going on all the time, you know, that's why we go, you know, kid don't win something, don't matter, you still got to give him a trophy, even though he wasn't a winner. We're making kids demonic doing this. We're getting them to yield to spirits. After a while, they won't listen to truth. They'll always want to be patted on the back all the time, and everything's all right. It don't always need patted on the back. Sometimes I need slapped on the back of the head. Ask Wanda. She does that at times. Slaps me on the back of the head. Says, Ed, shut up. Well, you do too. And I'm surprised. If your mate hasn't hit you in the back of the head, I don't know if they love you or not. They probably should have done it one time or another. I said, shut up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So they had manifestations. And this is one of the things as he's teaching them here about manifestations, how things are supposed to work in the church, how things are supposed to run. In other words, what is spiritual and what's not. How God manifests himself. In other words, look, there has to be a guideline set to things of we so we know what to yield to and what not to yield to. We have to know those things. Because there must be a way to judge stuff. It's amazing. When I was sitting, and I talked about this meeting before, but this woman was sitting there, and I knew this thing. It was supernatural. She had oil pouring out of her hands at such a rate. They are bringing towel after towel to her, and she is soaking up these towels with oil running out of her hands. And she's sitting down on the front row. She's sitting down here, and she's this minister on the front row. And I'll never forget, Rod Parsley was up preaching, and if any of you have ever listened to Rod Parsley can at least spit 10 rows, no sweat. I mean, he gets preaching, he gets fired. And Rod Parsley's preaching away, and I start noticing that the anointing on Rod Parsley's not working right. I could tell him that this woman, this whatever's going down here, is starting to hinder him. It's starting to affect the anointing. I noticed that. And I said to the guy next to me, what's that woman doing down here? Which I found out later was she had, and the Lord brought to me, and remembers, Kenneth Hagin said this one time. He said, God doesn't anoint a man to preach and then have somebody else down in the front row or down here in this, and then they're cutting in on that person. He said, if the anointing's up there, he ain't anointing somebody down here to do something. He said, they're anointed to do something. He said, they would be waiting. You don't go butting in. Well, what she was doing was really butting in, and it was affecting his preaching. His anointing. And the Lord brought to me, reminded me of what Brother Hagin had said. And I said to the guy next to me, I don't know what that lady's doing down there, because I didn't know at the time. I said, I don't know what she's doing, but I said, it ain't God. Because I said, it's affecting the anointing on the minister. She's distracting all the people in the place, must have been about 1,000 people there, are all watching up front at her and paying no attention to the show. And so I knew this. Kenneth Hagin also told us, and scripturally, it's accurate. The gifts of the Spirit are magnified Jesus Christ, not an individual. And what is doing? This new wasn't a gift of God operating because the focus was on her. God's moving up here by the Spirit, having a guy preach, and the focus becomes on her. It ain't God. If you want to be a shining star, you know, go join a club somewhere. Stay out of the church. We ain't supposed to have shining stars. We're not supposed to be attracted. Jesus Christ is supposed to be glorified. You know, the church today, we have all these stars. I'm tired of the stars, you know. I want to move a God. I want Jesus Christ to be the star again. Hallelujah. But and that's going on, and I want you to know. But in other words, God used me. See, God bear witness with something about it. What was wrong with that? We need to understand and learn these things, that we can judge. Now, Kenneth Hagin, when Jesus appeared to him in 1915, told him what was going to lead a lot of people astray. He said, demonic miracles and things of demonic origin. They're going to believe and follow him. Right there I was sitting in a meeting, a demonic manifestation, and almost every major minister, if I name the names, you'd go, Don't think because people, some major minister, that they're real spiritual. I've learned a long time ago, spirituality has nothing to do with large ministry. Lots of times it's a good sign they're not very spiritual. The stuff. I mean, I've seen with my own eyes. And they're all flowing with this thing and just jumping onto it. They're all jumping into this thing. I mean, Rhema people, instructors at Rhema, in on this thing. I'm sitting back here, a student, knowing this thing ain't God. People don't listen to their spirits. They look what looks good, what looks neat. It don't matter what looks good and looks neat. You know, with faith and patience, you inherit the promise. Just because something looks good, you don't jump on board with it. You judge it. Well, you ain't supposed to judge. Now, ain't that the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life? You're not supposed to judge? Well, then, ladies, you should just marry the first guy that came along and asked you. You shouldn't have judged him whether he's a nice guy or any good. You just married him because he asked. And you guys, she wanted you. Well, you should have married her. Don't judge. My words. I mean, you go into a restaurant, don't you sit down, pick out your menu. Don't judge whether you think something's good or not. Don't you dare do that. You just, these ignoramuses that walk around and say this stuff and talk this stupidity, yeah, don't judge. And what they do is this, don't correct me. That's what they mean. Don't correct me. Hallelujah. Been there, done that. I don't know what about you, but I've needed correction over time. Hallelujah. Thank God somebody loved me enough to correct me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, now we're going to go on. I done meddling pretty much here, ain't I? I'll tell you what. Well, it gets pretty good. We need more meddling. There ain't been no meddling in the church today, and everything, an ungodly thing, goes on in churches today. Anything that goes on in the world and goes on in the bars goes on in the churches. I mean, ministers are having as much sex with women in the congregation as today as they have in the bars. Believe me, you wouldn't believe how many big names are. Oh, we won't go into it. Anyhow, glory to God. It goes on. People out here ain't walking right and living right. And it's about time we do. But we have to understand it. You never develop with God unless you understand things spiritually. If you don't understand how things work spiritually, you're just going to be just like the world. You're going to walk along, and whatever looks good and sounds nice to you, you're going to follow it. That's what you're going to do. That's what else do you have to judge anything with? And we want to get over the areas of spirituality. Now, Paul makes this statement here. Paul says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. Now, this one here, the word gifts is in there. It's a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. Then he says, there are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation. Now he says the manifestation of the Spirit. He said there's gifts, but here he calls them manifestations. And they are. It's how the Holy Spirit manifests himself. Is here he talks about there's the manifestation, but we need to, he specifically says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So he's going to teach about manifestations of gifts of the Spirit. Now there's everybody should have manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. That's why is we always look to say certain to the minister to be doing things. And that's not the way that it is. There's one thing is I want you to understand. I talked about some about this before. Jesus Christ gave gifts in the church that tells us in Ephesians. He gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teachers. That was gifts of Jesus Christ to the church. That's what they're for. They're for the perfection of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and we all come together in the unity of faith into one body, goes on. That's why they were given. But those were given by Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit manifests through those gifts. Those gifts were given. But understand this, even though a person has a gift from God, that does it as a minister, he has to learn to yield to the Spirit just like you do. This is why most ministers, majority of ministers, don't operate in gifts of the Spirit. If you go into churches, they don't operate under them. Get any gifts of the Spirit other than they'll maybe preach or teach the words, but they don't operate in any other spiritual gifts. And the reason they don't, they've never learned. Their seminaries never teach them. They don't know how to do it. They believe that's all gone away and done away with. Well, let me tell you, if chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians has gone away, then chapter 13 surely has, and you don't have to walk in love, so forget it. But they don't operate in them because they have their pick and choose Bibles. You know, you get. I'm really amazed. I don't know why they put all these pages in the Bible for, because most of it don't belong to us anymore. You know, do it. I think we could have a Bible about that thick. That'd be good. 7 pages, and we'd be all right. The rest of it don't work no more. Jesus went to heaven. He's got his feet propped up on a hassock, watching the football game, and he ain't paying attention to what you're doing down here. Good luck. The angels are sitting around eating wings. Watching the two. Hey, wonder what the game is today down there. Who's Philly playing? I don't know. Well, that's church today. There's no move of the Spirit. There's nothing there. People don't know anything about. They don't know if God does what God does, if he wants. Well, God can do anything. Like, that's a spiritual statement. Braden thinks Ed can do anything. He thinks Paul can do anything. And he's totally wrong, but he believes it. Bless his darling heart. He thinks Paul can fix anything. That's the way he believes. Well, believing that, is it true? No. Most people say that God can do anything. They're probably the most faithless of the bunch. Because when it comes down, you ask him what he'll do for him. Wow, he don't do this. And oh, he won't do that. He can do anything, but he does nothing. Doesn't that really bring you hope? Doesn't that really encourage you today? God can do anything, but he's doing nothing. Wow, I just feel so much better. I'm so glad I came to church. Yeah, he killed your husband for a reason. He just needed another star in heaven. So it was, he just needed that. Oh my God, how exciting was that? Could he have healed him? Sure he could have, but he had a good reason why he did. People don't know today why people live nor die. They have no clue. They have no clue. You know, God is in this little shooting gallery. And what he does is he has one of those guns and all that stuff runs by and he shoots them down. We don't need a Bible. Just, go down the gallery and watch. And just hope today I'm not one of the guys going by and ping. Just hope I'm not the one getting knocked off today. But if he wanted to, he could have us all live and everybody be fine. But I guess he chose not to. Why? It's his wisdom. He is so smart. We just don't understand it. That's what's wrong. You just don't understand his brilliance in killing your child. You just don't get it, you idiot. He saved you so he could torture you and torment you and say, I love you, while I destroy your life and your family. I'm a wonderful God. And I shed my love abroad in your hearts, so you'll probably get a handgun and start killing people with his love. Good Lord. If that's his love, well, wouldn't you? Well, shouldn't we be following that course? It's a sick world out here, folks. A sick world. There are gifts, and gifts work, especially in the areas of ministers. God will especially work gifts. We need to understand this. If gifts do not work through a minister and he doesn't know how they work or what they do, he cannot teach people how to do it. This is why we don't have it in the church today. People can't talk about it because they don't have it. They can't teach it. They don't have it. These things cannot be just something written on a page to understand. The Lord taught me things about gifts of the Holy Spirit, how they acted, told me to go to meetings and sit down and watch how God, he said, you watch how I use so-and-so when he ministers. Watch him. Watch how I use him. And I started to do that. I started to realize, there's things in the Word that really hadn't made, that I thought I knew was talking about till I watched God move through them. And I thought, it's a little different than I thought it was. Just seeing those things. Most people go to meetings as a spectator. They don't watch to see what God does. They're just there to hear to see if something tickles my ear, something gets me. It's like sort of like going to the show, whether I liked it or didn't like it, and really didn't catch loads of stuff that's on the screen that happened in the movie. They don't even really see it go on. They don't know. They don't see it. We need to understand. Do you know the flow of the Spirit of what's going on in a meeting? There's a spiritual event taking place here today in this meeting. Do you know the flow of it? You can. You can understand and know the flow of it. You can learn to hook into the flow of it. I'd go to Kenneth Hagin's meetings and sit down, and I could almost tell you when he was going to start to prophesy or he was going to do certain things. I learned to hook up in the flow of his meetings and what he did and how God used him, and I could tell you certain things because hooking up with that Spirit, that flow, I knew that Spirit because I was anointed by that Spirit. And I could pick things up about it and how it worked. But see, we need to understand that when church becomes just a spectator sport, it's not a spiritual event. It's a physical event to most people. They come to church. I'm just going to hear. Their hearing is almost 90% based in their physical ear. We know this because things can be taught for years and years on end and still people can't get it to work. We know this. They've never heard it because they always are operating in the natural. What's being said? What's the Holy Spirit trying to bring across to me? What's he speaking to me? What's he trying to witness to me? What on the inside is going on while I'm here today? What's happening on the inside? Well, I tell you what, I hope he's short today because I need to get home and And the Holy Spirit's trying to say things, and we're saying, well, I got this going on, and I got that on, and boy, I tell you that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Most time, people are in the natural. They're in the natural trying to be spiritual. You can't. You can't. And I, hey, I'm not criticizing. I'm trying to help you in this thing, is to understand when you come to church. That's why coming to church is not something walking cold in the door after you just had a fight in the car and didn't get along, walking in the door of the church, sitting down here, and all of a sudden, we just throw a switch and we're going to be spiritual. No, most of the time, people who do that, till they, as church is over, they still haven't got in the spirit. They're ready to wring the person's neck when they get out the car. I'm not mocking you. I've been there. I said, why do we have to wait? Let's wring their neck now. Let's get this over with so I can get over here and get spiritual. Oh, my word. Yep, I got flesh and blood too. And mine wasn't to redeem you either. No, you don't want my flesh. I don't want it. Hallelujah. But to teach and to train people, people have to be able to taught these things. People have to become spiritual. One of the things that, I don't know why, but when I first heard Kenneth Hagin teaching, it started really in February of 1980. I got Kenneth Hagin's tape series on how to be led by the Spirit, and that's when he spoke to me. That was one of the couple of events I had there with God talking to me. But that was really, to me, is one of the most major, where he said to me, "If you don't learn, be learned to led by the Spirit, you'll not do nothing as a Christian." I mean, that really grabbed me. That sort of set my entire course on my Christian walk. That set it. So I'm going to learn to be led by the Spirit. And I just became more in the areas of wanting to be more conscious of what's on the inside of me going on than what's going on the outside. The answers that you need to life, most of the time, are not what's going on the outside. And yet that's where everybody's looking, and that's what everybody's praying about. You know, like sickness comes along. People just get focused on their body. Well, you know, it's like today. Well, if I eat the right stuff and I'm just going to do all these natural things. Things just persist and go on and never stop. It's because they're all focused in the natural. Doesn't mean there's natural things that you can't do. But the whole thing of it is, the core reason of things, the answer's inside of you. It ain't in a doctor's office. It's not in the last medical journal thing that you read or went online and got. Number one, why does a situation exist? You know, most, it's just like something happens to an individual, and say, like, you know, just like a person dies, and you know, you've known them for years and walk with them and wonder why all of a sudden their life was taken. Most people, this is they get over the natural. Well, God must kill them for a reason. Well, God took them for a reason, or you know, whatever. Most people don't stop and say, why? What happened here? What happened here? Lord, is there things I need to know? Can that happen to me? Am I walking? I'm just going to tell you. There's things in your life that you can walk in and do will open the door to kill you, devil to kill you. And you might think, well, it ain't no great sin. You can open the door to the devil to kill you on things by not listening to your spirit on the inside. Randall Greer talked about it because God using him a lot in over the areas of dealing with demons and casting demons out. The Lord dealt with him about it and said to him, concerning those things, he said, and showing him different things. God started showing him different people like that he was casting spirits out of. And God told him how those spirits got in. He said, I was so astonished to find out that many times it wasn't some big, huge thing that they were doing wrong, but just things in their life that they opened up the door to let demonic things get into their life and made a foot door way for the devil to get in, and he just made it wider and wider till after a while he was in their life big time. And he said, I was just really astonished at things that happened. See, if you don't hook to the inside, the church world today is like when I was a kid in church, this was what would, if you, the guy, if you wore the right suit, the woman wore the right, you know, covering and that kind of stuff. You drove the right type of cars and, you know, you lived in the right kind of home. And now you believed on Jesus, supposedly believed on Jesus. But that if you didn't cuss, you didn't swear, you didn't smoke, and you didn't drink at the bar, you didn't do those things, and you didn't hang around that stuff, my God, you were so righteous. It was phenomenal. Jesus would probably have to take a back seat to you. You were just so darn holy. It was incredible. But see, that was their idea of things. Yet I saw things that went on among them that were, and how the devil got his foothold in them and destroyed lives and did all kinds of stuff because of the way that they believed, the way that they thought about things. But see, to them, that was the idea of a good life. They weren't, I never heard ever such a term. I didn't know you learned to be led by the Spirit. They might read over the Scripture, but they had no idea what it meant. Today, the majority of the church is led by the culture. Whatever the culture does, then that's what we do. If the culture got certain types of music, then we have to have that music because that's what they got. See, we just put different words to them. If you put the right words to them, any kind of music's all right. Any kind of dress is all right. If they have it a little bit too short, we'll just button it up a little bit. We'll be okay. We just follow whatever the world picks it and chooses it, and we just jump right on board with it. That's the church today. The world is the leader of the church world today. Randall Greer said this. He said, I looked into the church and he said, I saw the world. He said, I looked into the world and I saw the church. And that's what it is today. There's a mixture. Whatever the culture changes, the church changes to fit the culture, to give people what they want. And most people, that's what they want. We reach people through manifestations of the Holy Ghost of how God has set them out, not culture sets. God put the church in the world to change the culture of the world, not the culture of the world to change the church. It's going to require something supernatural to reach the world, but that would take time and people would have to give up their worldly religious doctrines. And they love them because people come and love them and, oh, you're great, you're great. I can come to your church, I can live like hell and I feel real good. Ha, you're a wonderful person. You're so great, you're so good. I can live like hell and, my God, you can preach to me all the time. Demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit is what we need to have. We need the anointing of God to be back in services again, where the sinner comes in is uncomfortable. A sinner should never feel comfortable in a church. That is not the idea that God ever had. The sinner does not come in to feel comfortable. If a sinner can feel comfortable in the church, it's because he is not searching for anything really, and he's not getting anything really. And he feels comfortable. Back when I was in the world, I know if I went to a church, I would have felt uncomfortable. I went in the bar, I felt comfortable. Then I started to notice the people in the church were in the bar with me, and they were comfortable too. They were as comfortable as I was. It's like one minister I knew, he of a church right here in this town. The guy was a pastor there. He's not pastor now, but was for years. This guy, he went up to New York City with him and they were attending some kind of conference. And in between the conferences, they went out on 42nd Street and were walking up through. And 42nd Street back years ago used to have all the porn places and they're all coming back now. They want them back now. We got to really get down and dirty here in New York. But anyhow, they're going down through and this guy said, we're going to go in here and see one of these movies. And he said, what? He said, yeah, we need to go in. He said, you need to go in and find out what the world's doing. You need to do that. Well, what is this? He's just fulfilling his own lusts. Oh, and people thought he was a wonderful minister. He was a wonderful guy. Yes. I don't need to watch a porn movie to know what they're watching. I pulled on my pants already. I know what I'm going to see. I've seen what girls got. I know what they're going to be doing in there. Why would I have to go visit it to see what it is? That's a good demonic reason to say, I'm doing this spiritually. There was no spiritual, it was 1,000% flesh. And understand, the Bible says this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I noticed with people in his church, the carnality among them. Oh, and they used to say it was a wonderful church. I could tell the carnality among them. Why? His spirit was getting on them. You hang out in a church with a carnal minister, you ain't ever going to get spiritual. Jesus, Paul wrote and said, by the Spirit of God, little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can't let that around. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's get free. Amen. Man, I don't need somebody holding me in bondage. I've had enough trouble in my life without asking people to take me someplace I shouldn't go. Glory to God. Paul wants these people to understand spiritual things. He said there are diversities of gifts. The word diversity means just there's different kinds of gifts. Now, the definition here of the word gift, the word gift that's used here is where we get the word charisma, is where we get that word from, charisma. And it's, in other words, the charismatic move. The charismatic move was about the manifestation of gifts, or gifts in the church. Now, see, we take these and we tie them all just to these manifestations of these gifts. But we're going to find out, he said there's diversities of gifts. There was also, even though there was different diversity of gifts, there was diversities of ministries. In other words, there's different types of ministries. There's different kinds. There's different kinds of gifts. There's different kinds of ministries. Also, he says there's diversity of activities. Or in other words, there's different ways that these gifts or these manifestations of the Spirit come through a person who is in that ministry or whatever operating. Not everybody operates exactly the same, identically with gifts. And this is what you need to learn and to know. We like everything tied up in a little bow, and then we got, well, step one, this is going to happen, and that'll happen, this will happen. That's not the way it operates. It never has with God. It's never operated. We like to have that. That makes us feel comfortable. Why? You'd never have to study or be yielded to the Spirit. Somebody could just hand you the instruction sheet and say, there you go, be in the Spirit. You don't need to listen to the Holy Ghost. Follow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you'll have it. There you go, you got it. I want to teach you how to witness to people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here, take that one there. You'll never have to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you can lead people to Jesus. You won't even need the Holy Spirit to ever show up because you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, you just, why would you need the Holy Spirit to show up? I just gave you the instruction. No, you got to be led by the Spirit. You got to be led by what's on the inside rather than what's going on the outside. What people look like, I've learned this in ministering to people, I've learned over the years. What looks like on the outside sometimes ain't at all what's going on the inside. Not at all. What you see on the outside of people, people are great at hiding what they really are. We like to hide it, you know. We can put some nice stuff on the outside and make it look good. I walk around smiling all the time and go home and commit suicide. How many times we hear people commit suicide and people say, I never thought they'd ever commit suicide. Wow, they never knew what the person was on the inside. This is what the Bible says. Know no man after the flesh. 99% of people only know other people by the flesh. Most people that will get married today only marry a person because they know them by the flesh. They don't know where they're at spiritually at all. And if they do, they'll probably ignore it. Folks, listen, it says, know no man after the flesh. So I've learned this over time. I got to be careful about judging about what I see or happening going on. I got to be careful about that because I want to know exactly what's true, what's really happening, and what's not. There's people that I thought just messed up. You just want to take them out and slap them. But when you saw finally the Lord revealed to me on the inside, you really had compassion on them. It's like, oh man, God, what they're going through. Oh, yeah. And there are some people, when the Lord showed you what's going on inside of them, you wanted to slap them. Oh, yeah. He wanted to. This is why you can't judge by the outside what it looks like. Two people can look like they're going through the same things, but not at all. Not at all. By what's going on in the inside. And this is why know no man after the flesh. Don't know. Start to knowing people. Because there's one thing that'll happen to you. You will get to the point you won't like people. We're called in this world to reach people. If you're judging by the outside, you'll pick all the people that are like you. You'll gather them around you. And nobody likes you, so they won't like them either. So. Just kidding. But see, as we do, we choose and pick around what we like, what thinks okay. But you know what happens? It never does work out. Because somebody that turns around and it turns out not to be what we thought. They're not going to be that. That's why you can't. It's a terrible thing to try to pick by the outside. You don't pick by the outside. You pick by the inside. It's one of the things that I always often thought, thank God for, concerning and marrying Wanda. You know, we were sinners. And, you know, we got married and stuff, and so we weren't thinking about anything spiritual. We definitely had other things on our minds. And the spiritual things weren't one of them. And don't look at me strange. You are no different. So, you know, you don't go to lie and see what happened. I'll tell you, liars be in the lake of fire. The Bible says so. So don't get over there doing that. Well, one of the things that I really, though, admired concerning one, after I got born again and understood how, you know, with Wanda, because I understood the fact of this, is that I thought about it. You know, as a sinner, like she married me and stayed with me. I thought, I'd have never stayed with me. My God! I would have never stayed with me. She did. But there's things that I began to understand about her spiritually, about how she operates, how she sees things and views things on her. Now, this is, I know, and anybody tell you, well, men are this and that. There's certain traits about men and women that, you know, generally are because of we just are genetically what way God made us up. But people are different. Men and women are different on what drives them. But I often thought about, you know, with Wanda, I could see it would have been easy for Wanda to come to Christ because of just her general. I mean, she must have had pretty good compassion. She stayed with me. No, but I knew with just the way that she thought and how she viewed things was totally different than the way I viewed things. Where to me, you know, God really had to deal with me a lot when I first got born again. He had to deal with me a lot of getting things changed. Because things on the outside were dominating and ruling. Even though I got born again on the inside, my thinking hadn't changed. And the way I thought, he had to get all that rearranged, get stuff into my spirit, get me into believing right and thinking right. Most people never spend the time to do that. They get saved, and then they go off into all kinds of things. They never really develop spiritually. Many people never develop. Christians never develop spiritually. There's no spiritual development in their life. And that's what God wanted to change in me. He wanted me to change on the inside. Because if he could make a permanent change on the inside, we could make some permanent change on the outside. That's why Christians that get saved and they're just, you know, now they go, oh yes, praise God, I'm one, I'm saved. Next thing you know, they're out in the world again. It's because they never develop anything spiritually. And what happens is they end up falling right back over into the things. They leave the things that are spiritual. They don't understand them or know it. They don't want to take the time to learn it. There is no other way to do it. I don't know any other way. If there's another way, somebody please tell me. I'd like to find out about it because I don't know it. I just know it takes time to learn to develop. It takes time to learn to hear on the inside. The Spirit of God just said this. There's some of you in here, you don't even know you. You only know you by how you are on the outside. You're not contact. You don't really know you. And see, many people, your inner man, your spirit's the real you. That's the eternal part of you. When you die, your body gets put in a box, and this real man goes off. There are people just going to be shocked to find out what they were living in this earth. It's not, because why? They're conscious more about the outside of themselves and everything. We have a society today, it is all geared towards your outside. And your beauty and this and that. And now, you know, it's everything, you know, is supposed to be beautiful. And we accept it all. Now we take it all. We just get more in the flesh and more into sin to dominate the outside so we can't hear on the inside. The devil will always do whatever he can to make your outside so noisy that you can never come in contact with your inner man. That's what he will do. He'll make you so noisy on the outside. He'll have your mind going out of it. People today, when people say, well, I'm so busy, that's a good sign of demonic activity. I'm so busy, I can't hear. I'm so busy, I can't do things spiritual. I have to go do this. I have to go do that. And I can't hear on the inside. See, we need to understand, we're going to be dealing with spiritual things. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. We're talking about gifts of the Spirit, but they operate by coming in contact with the inner man, not the outer man. This is not something that you walk around unspiritual and it just drops on you and you go do wonderful things. Dear Lord, God had to take Moses out, take him out down there for 40 years out there in the wilderness to get him quiet down enough he could appear to him and talk to him and get him to go back up and do the deliverance ministry he called him to. Some of you need hit out for a while. really needed that. I needed it. That's what God would do. My bedroom became the place where God hid me out. I'd come home from work and God'd tell me to go in the bedroom. When I was doing second shift, Bond and them would be in bed sleeping, and the living room was the place God did. And I would just stop and I would get my Bible out and I'd pray and I would talk to God about things as just learning. That became the place, the place where I just got away, where I could get with God, get hearing on the inside, where I wasn't listening to everything on the outside. When Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin, he told him that the majority of people he calls the ministry never enter in the first phase of the ministry he's called them to. Just think of that. Most people he calls them in never enter in the first phase of the ministry he called them to. Isn't that amazing? We have all these ministers out here, and many of them will never enter in the first phase of the ministry. They're out there doing what they think. I knew what God wanted me to do. I drug my feet. I don't understand these guys that just jumped into everything all the way. Oh, I just want to be right in it. Yeah. To me, when I look at it, you're doing God's work. You better know a little bit about this thing. You ain't going to get it just going to some school just because you got. I don't care what any school anybody went to. I know plenty of people today came out of the same school I did, and I wouldn't want their ministry for nothing and what they're doing for nothing. They're following the flesh, they're following men, they're following things, but they're not following God. We're talking about these things. They seem hard, but I want you to understand, we have too much of our ear turned to too many things, too much stuff, and we are not doing things ourselves. We're not taking time to hear. You got to get quiet. You got to get over with God. You got to get over and come in contact with your own inner man. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He didn't say as many got born again, these are the sons of God. He said as many as are led by the Spirit. You can live and die born again and never lived like you were a son of God. Following what you think, some religious ideals, some things like that. You can follow all that stuff, but never lived and died. Can you imagine stepping before Jesus and just telling him, well, look, I didn't drink, smoke, swear. I was really nice. I treated my mama good. You know, that's all nice things. But God said, yeah, but I ask you to do this. Do what? You never said that to me. What are you talking about? Ask me. If you can't hear on the inside, it isn't just for preachers. This isn't just for Ed. It's how you lived your life. It's how you lived your life. I'm glad I learned to listen to that. I've seen miracles happen because I've learned to listen to that. I've learned to pay attention to that. I've learned how to cultivate certain things. When things get tough out here and a lot of crazy stuff going on, I can get quiet on the inside in the middle of a hurricane and hear God. I have never been in a thing where people were in danger or any kind of problems, things like that, that God didn't speak to me. But I want you to understand this. Most people he spoke to too, but never heard it. Can you know how to turn off the outside and listen to the inside? If you can't do that. If you're under stress and problem, you can't stop it and do it. Now, it ain't something you're going to perfect overnight, but you got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to, I'll tell you what, I learned how to turn things off on the outside and listen on the inside. I've learned this wonderful piece of wisdom Kenneth E. Hagin gave. He said, I go as much sometimes as what God doesn't say to me is by what he does. Sometimes I look over at the problem and answer. Sometimes it just comes up. It's up like me. You don't do nothing. You just keep walking where you were. You just stay where you're at. He hasn't said anything. You just stay where you're at. Walk still. You have to know that. You have to be able to come in contact with that on the inside. Many times I've said to the Lord, if you want me to do something else, you let me know. I'll do whatever. You tell me. But I just get the sense I'm okay right there. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep walking here where I'm walking. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'll tell you, that stuff's paid off over the years. But most people, they get so on the outside of things. It dominates and rules, and they can't get quiet. They can't hear the inner man. They can't stop. Worry dominates them. Oh, my God, if we don't do something, they're going to die. No, you're just helping them, killing them by your worry. You're helping the devil carry out his stuff by panic. My God, I sure wouldn't want to be taken to an ER and have the average Christian show up there to take care of me. My God, I'd be dead. They'd be, oh my God, what am I doing? Oh, Lots of times, Dean, I'm going to tell you, lots of times when serious stuff comes up, I'm going to tell you what, that ain't the time to get praying. That's the time to get hearing. What I do is more important than me just running my mouth in front of God. And I don't know what the step is. I need to stop and hear the step. You need to learn to hear from God, not just talk to God. Most people only ever talk to God. That's their prayer life, they think praying is talking to God. I'll tell you, a big one is about listening to Him. I want to know what He's saying. I know what He's witnessing in my spirit. I want to know what's going on in the inside. Because I'm going to search, not just for an answer, for a thing and direction. What if my direction is wrong about the thing that I'm going after? Well, you can go after it all you want, say all you're believing you want, confessing all you want. It ain't going to work. It's making sure you're in the right direction. I've had to be corrected on that already. Got over in the right direction, and what I was struggling at for months on end ended instantly. Because I got in the right direction, I could bring it to a stop with my faith. But I'm over here trying to deal with this. See, I think that's the problem. And you gotta, that's why it's on the inside. The wisdom's on, the Holy Ghost's inside of you. He don't live in your head, if you ain't noticed. We know what's living in your head. Sometimes it's in my head. We don't want to listen to that. I've heard enough from that. Hallelujah. We want on the inside to dawn upon us. And it will. It will. Hallelujah. Spiritual things. And I want you to learn. This big thing is learning to walk and live in the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your kindness. And Lord God, you are good to us. Lord, you're not beating us up. You're just telling us things that are true. Lord, about ourselves, Lord God, we have to judge ourselves. And Lord God, we sure do need to do that. We need to judge ourselves. Hallelujah. We need to know whether we're growing up or we're not growing up. And Lord God, I sure want to know if I'm missing it. Lord God, I want to be taught and trained. I want to understand those things. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, something just keeps coming up in my spirit. Wes, I just keep coming up. I don't know. Is there certain things you're dealing with? I don't know if it's business-wise. I don't know what it is. Something that's it's been you've been struggling around with on something. I don't know what it is. I just got a sense that there's something that you things you've been doing. I don't need to know what it is. It just keeps coming up inside of me. Just relax. You just relax. Just be quiet. Just get quiet. Relax. You're going to be good. You're going to be fine. It's going to work out fine. Just relax. Just rest. Just rest in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just rest in it. Now, I don't know what it is. I don't know. It may be a meteor heading for his head. It may sound like it's something bad. But God is just telling him just to relax. God's letting him know he's all right. He's all right. And what he's dealing with, he's all right. I don't know what that thing is, but God just wanted me to say that to him. I don't know why. See, I just kept coming up to me. Now, this is one of the things I asked the Lord, that I want demonstrations of the Spirit. We're not just going to teach and talk about them. We're going to have demonstrations of the Spirit. And really, this is what we're dealing with. Here we see what really is what a word of knowledge. It's something that is going on in his life. Now, I don't know. He don't tell me exactly what it is, but he just tells me, gives me a word of knowledge, really from the standpoint that Wes needs comforted. He needs something given to him to help him. He needs something. And that just comes to me. Now, I don't know what, you know, my words to him, I'm just, that's why I ask him, does he have something? I want to know if I'm hitting it or if I'm hitting in the right direction. I want to know if he's dealing, what if something that he's dealing with. But I just get a sense. I don't need to know what it is. You know, it's one thing, if a person wants to tell me something, that's fine, but I don't need to know, to tell let him know what God's saying to him, because God knows what he's dealing with. God wants to be personal to him. See, it's one thing about manifestations of the Spirit. This is why we have to have them. Just telling somebody God loves them ain't enough of anything. God loves you. Well, my words, Grandma loves you too. Has it helped you? You know, sometimes, my words, you know, Grandma might have been a problem. But she said she loved you, but you know. And the whole thing is God loves you. We need demonstration or manifestation of it. You know, I don't know how it's been with you, but it's encouraged me at times that I've sat in a service and I've been places and, you know, you're dealing with stuff and, you know, you wonder sometimes, does God even know that I'm around? And somebody turns around and says something. Over the years, there's just things that going through. I've had people. I mean, I've had people, you know, knowing things. I had a missionary one time come in, you know, from far out, way, came and said to me about a certain thing I was going through and dealing with it, and came to me and spoke to me about it. I'm going to tell you, it was one of the most encouraging things that happened to me, that God said something through that individual to encourage me, and we need that. See, that's why the Bible says to covet to prophesy. Lots of times that's what the Spirit is. Spirit of prophecy goes to work. Spirit of prophecy goes to work. A word of wisdom and word of knowledge comes through that. And the Bible says we're all supposed to covet to prophesy. It don't say just walk around and say nice things to people. That's not the spirit of prophecy. I want to know, in my spirit, that's what I sense God was saying to Wes. And you know what? It ain't no, to me, that little bit of a thing, I would think, you know, and my mind would say, don't you have more than that? But God knows, is talking to us. Number one, God's interested in him, but God's interested in you too. And see, I realize this, if you're going to minister to people, you have to have this stuff in operation to minister to people, because I, as a man, cannot know what everybody needs, and neither do you. And you can't minister to people because you have gone through similar things that they have. Loads of people in the ministry, they say, well, you know, I went through a divorce, so I want to minister to people with divorce. Well, what on earth does that mean? That might sound like a nice thing, but that don't mean you're going to do much help with them. Say, it didn't fix your marriage, what are you going to do for them? Hold it. That's another thing. God tells you to go minister in that way, but you don't do it because, well, I just want to help people over there. But we want manifestations of the Spirit, because I don't know what everybody goes through. I don't know. I don't know the things people are dealing with, but God knows what you're specifically dealing with. And he wants us, if we operate in these gifts, we can minister to people outside what we see, what we hear naturally, what we feel about something. We can say something about it. I didn't have no that I wanted to say something to Wes today. I didn't have nothing with that I wanted to say something to him. And I say, well, why didn't the Lord say anything, you know, to me? I don't know. You'll have to talk to him about that. I'm not God. These gifts operate as the Spirit wills. I am not going to give you a fake prophecy to make you feel nice today. Say, oh, you're just a cute thing. God thinks you're nice and you're okay. And then the meteor hits you in the head. Well, then Prester looks pretty stupid. But we do these things, and we do these as the Spirit wills. We're not trying to make something up. We're not trying to make something happen, because there's things come up inside of us, you know. Hallelujah. One of the things, the Spirit of the Lord just keeps coming up inside of me. One of the things that we get off in the areas of loved ones and that stuff concerning these, you know, because people get over, we see the shortness of time. We need to be careful, because what we do is we begin to, because of what we see going on, we let that become the motive of what we're going to try to do spiritually. We don't do that. Don't do that. Don't operate in that manner. We have loved ones around us who want to come to Christ. Praise God, we want to come to Christ. The biggest thing that you can do, and always for your loved ones, is you walk close to God. As the folks you've heard me talk about, where the Lord spoke to me, because he said to me back in 1983, because you walked where I've told you to do and done what I've told you to do, he said, I'm going to bring your whole family in. Well, see, it wasn't for me praying and fasting for my family all the time. Doing the will of God. That's what it'll get. You'll get more done, more things from God by doing the will of God. I've got more done by the will of God following it than most people ever did in their entire prayer life. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience beats prayer every time. Obedience and prayer are wonderful. But prayer doesn't amount to anything with disobedience. And this is one of the things, is don't worry. It's one of the things is start walking in faith. God knows your loved ones. Start talking. If you're going to talk to God, you talk to God concerning your loved one. It's like he's going to do something about it. And quit talking like, oh, God, do something. Like God ain't trying to reach him. God's working at it. Let me tell you, he wants to. But lots of times he can't do things because of what our negative view of it. We see them, well, they're acting worse. They just seem to be doing worse things. What does that mean? Worse than what? I got born again in the middle of worst. That even a Christian told me they thought I'd never get saved. And I told him, I said, I want to thank you because I know you never prayed for me. But see, if you get over in your mind's eye and you see what's going on, that's why if we don't see what's in the heart of people. Sometimes people are acting out because there's so much junk going on in the inside of them, and they're trying to find out truth. They want to know truth, and they're just, man, they're messed up. And we look at them and say, oh boy, they're just a bunch of heathens. That's all they are. Well, you can't just judge it like that. But your loved ones, don't get over into fear concerning your loved ones. Don't get into fear. Hallelujah. Thank God that he's speaking to him. Thank God he's sending people across their paths to talk to him. And let me just say this. Unless he tells you to talk to them about it, don't get in their face about it. Don't do that. That don't mean go help them in their sin. So they can just keep going. But the whole thing of it is let God, you know, we have a hard time letting God have things that we find dear or we want. We want to keep it, and then we talk about praying, and we talk, but all of it's a waste. It does nothing because we're clinging to it, and we're not going to let him fix it for anything. Because, see, I got to fix it. We don't know. Sometimes we want to have our own reward. It isn't easy sitting watching somebody going in a direction. It's not easy. But still, if you learn how to hook up on the inside, I'm just telling you, if you learn how to hook up on the inside, you can deal with these things. But if you're going to keep looking at the outside and marching on the outside thing, you're going to have a hard time ever dealing with it. You can't. You're looking at things on the inside. That's the place. You know, we're talking about, you know, this morning saying about peace. There's peace that to be had that's on the inside. It's not on the outside. You can be sitting in the worst problem you ever had in your life and be at peace and rest on the inside. You can be at rest on the inside. Outside, everything's a great clamor. Everything looks like it's going to go under. But inside, I was told that there was something the matter with my personality because I wouldn't worry. I was told that. But Christian, something's wrong with me. Situations came up, and I didn't worry, and they told me that there was something wrong with me with my personality. And I thanked them for that. I said, I'm so glad I'm messed up, so I'm not bananas like you. And this is wonderful. Thank you. I gave him a kiss. I just, I love you. There's something wrong with you. You need to get to where the world looks at you and say, you know, there's something wrong with you. I wish I had it. Whatever it is. They look at you and they like you. They look at you and say, you know, you're squirrely as crap, but I'll tell you what, you got a better life than mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. Glory to God. Now we're walking over in these areas and we're going to be dealing with the area of spirituality. We're talking about spirituality and flowing in things of spirit. Prepare yourself to walk in the spirit. Prepare yourself to be used by the Holy Ghost in your own life. You know, I probably hear of lately more than any, I have been doing a lot of times of talking in tongues and interpreting in my own just, you know, I'm not, lots of times it don't come in just some prayerful time. I can be around working, I'm just meditating. Lots of times when I'm doing other things, there's certain things that you do in life you're working on or doing you don't have to real concentrate a lot on. You can think, I can meditate on some scripture things or I'm meditating on certain things. Sometimes I just get talking to God about stuff while I'm doing other things. And I'm just talking, I ask the Lord questions about things and I do those. But I found out a lot lately here, all of a sudden I'll be over and I'll be in tongues and then I'll just interpreting what I was praying out in tongues. And also I've had a lot of prophecy come up lately. The Lord speaking through me, speaking out through my... Now the Lord could speak to me in my own spirit and I could hear it, but the same things come out in my voice where I'm saying it out in my voice concerning things, about things. And concerning our nation, he's had me voice certain things and I've been voicing certain things out and that stuff. And he's been doing it a lot lately. Well, I know this. I know enough about the realm of the spirit. This ain't just a thing about for Ed. This isn't for about Ed, just because I'm a minister. This is for the church. This is for everybody to getting over into the areas where you're... See, and this is one thing is learning to yield over to God in the spirit areas. These things should become to you as operating through you. It shouldn't be something we wait to go to church. Now, I'm, you know, do teaching stuff. I can, you know, instruct people in these areas. But you got to get over in your own life. You know, start to, when you get things in your spirit, start to speak them out. See, lots of people, they never do any of that. They get senses of things, and what they talk about is what they think about what's going on instead of saying what's actually they sense on the inside of them. God can't use you in manifestations of the Spirit if you won't respond to what's in your spirit. Respond what's in there. You get senses about things. I get senses of things about the inside. I talk to God about it. I voice it to Him about these things. Start saying those things out of you. You got to get over. See, it has to become a reality to you. As long as you hold it on. Look, faith is zero value, not spoken. What is not said ain't coming to pass, so forget it. I don't care. You don't, you know, I want a silent prayer for me. I just, okay, well, I'll keep quiet and not pray for you. And I was in churches giving silent prayers. Who ever heard such a stupid, demonic thing said in churches? I want a silent prayer. I'll tell you what, give me a prayer that got words in line with the Bible. We'll get someplace there. Glory to God. No, just do it silent. Don't say anything like it's something's going to happen. I mean, that's ignorance done going to seed, man. I mean, that's dumb and dumber. Or dumbest, I don't know which. Well, these things go on in churches and people do this kind of stuff. Totally unscriptural, and we find it nowhere in the Bible, nothing, but who cares what the Bible says, right? Just gonna do this stuff. Because it's our religion, it's the way we believe. Yes, it's really wonderful. I'll tell you, get over it. Talk about what's on the inside of you. That's the real you. I am so glad that this outer man isn't the real me. Man, I get out of the shower and look at that guy in the mirror. I ain't so tickled about him. I don't know. Is this what we're living with? Is this? I'm going around and taunt this. It's like it's some big deal. Dear Lord, my back in the shower. Dear God, right? You can't wash it off. It's still there. The beauty skin deep, ugliness goes the bone. My beauty must have been washed off a long time ago. It's gone. But I'd hate to think, people, you can't just live in this outside thing. You can't get over here. Your focus in life of what people say you should be, what you should look, oh, I don't know if I want to go out there, like I said, I don't have makeup on. Yeah, neither do I, and I put it on, it wouldn't help. So it's my face, I tell you. God can only, God can do a miracle and He could fix this thing, but I think He gets a lot of laughs. He looks and wonders about me. But I've learned over time, those things don't matter. That's not what's important. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We have to lose this thing of our vanity. Just lose our thing of our vanity. And see, that all comes about when I start in the beginning, it deals with what you love. What you really love. And finding out what you really love. Finding out the real you. I encourage you to go after that. Do you really know you? Do you really know how your faith works and how what you can do and what you can't? Do you know where you stand and where you don't? See, if you don't know those things, you'll go out here and you ask for prayer and you'll go through the things of praying that are going to amount to nothing because you can't go there. You haven't developed to go there. And just because you say you want to go there, you don't mean you can go there. You want to know where you can go. That's such a wonderful thing. When I found out how far I could step out into things or how far I could, or I could find out where my weakness was, then I can target to do something about that. But if you don't know where they're at, you'll just keep going down the same road. And well, the reason God's not doing anything with this, it's not in His timing, and it's not, you'll start a religious belief. You'll start up a religious belief and we'll blame it on God because I'm so wonderful I could never miss it. It must be Him. Don't go there. Father, I want to thank You today, Lord God. We've gone into these things and going over these things, Lord God. Father, there's things of the Spirit that we must know and we must understand. And I want to thank You, Father God. Father, I believe our hearts are open to hear something. I believe, Lord God, there's things, Lord God, that we are craving and we want. We desire earnestly, Lord God. And Father, there's no way. We're sitting in a world that is so messed up. Lord God, people aren't even listening to what's said anymore. Lord God, what's even good? They don't know the difference between what's good and what's evil. And Lord God, if You do not manifest Yourself, and if Your glory is not revealed, if demonstrations and manifestations of the Spirit don't take place, Lord, people are going to go off into eternity lost forever. Father God, we definitely need more of You and less of us. But at the same time, Lord, we want to be good vessels that You can use. because you've always used people. And Lord God, we want to be used. We desire that you would manifest through us. We desire, Lord God, Lord, we want to be vessels that you can count on, that if you want to do something, that Lord God, that just like the word, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, that's where I want to live at. I want to live in that place, Lord God, that here am I, send me. The Lord, that I would be ready and ready to be used and ready, Lord God. Father, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you with these people here, Lord God. Father, we need every one of them in the body working in the gifts that you have called them to walk in the place and positions that you have put them. We need them, Lord. We have no value in the Christian body if we're not walking in the place where we belong. And Lord God, you, the gifts can't operate through me. Lord God, there's no value in me being in the body. I have no value because the body would have no need of me. Lord God, I want the body to have need of me. I want them to have need of me, Lord God, that I have a place and a position, Lord God, that you can use me to bless the body, to help the body, so the body can grow, so the body can mature. Lord God, I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to watch no more. Lord God, I don't want to do that. Lord God, I want to be a part that blesses the body. Hallelujah. That helps the body grow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Father, I don't want a life anymore that focuses on me. I don't want a life that focuses on me, focuses on my need, and all that I would want. Hallelujah. Lord God, you will take care of me. You're good. Hallelujah. Father God, I want to be used to bless the body. And I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. We're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to be disappointed, Lord. When people head into what's right, you always bless them. Hallelujah. And you will bless us. You will use us, Lord God. Father, I want to thank you that there's going to be things developing in people. Lord God, you're going to give them insight into things, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, you're going to make them a blessing. You're going to make them a blessing. You're not just blessing them. You're making them a blessing. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.